This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of Fantasy Points. .com. The program, as always, is being produced by Michael Cohen. Big program per usual. Well, massive. It's a Friday. We have my favorite props to plop. See, I tried to say two words at once there. We will plop down some props here at the end of the program. I've got over 10 of them, which is a little risky. I've got some touchdown props as well. But as I said yesterday, this is my time to shine. This is early in the season, a couple of weeks in the books. Now it's time to build up leads because it's going to get ugly in November. But again, we have the antidote this year. We're going to go Novunder, but that's several, many weeks away. Scott Barrett will join us at fantasypoints.com, a DFS genius, quite frankly, and he's got some great selections and recommendations for week number three. We'll also talk college football props with Ben Stevens, college football betting analyst here at VSiN, also co-hosting the live bet show right at the kickoff during the games on college football Saturday. And we will recap last night's action and take a quick look around the National Football League at the critical injuries of note. But let's get into last night's game because I do feel very good. You know, when you have a good day of analysis, you wake up the next day, coffee tastes a little bit better, birds are chirping a little louder, smells a little more, you know, flowery outside. It's a beautiful thing. We did just miss going 5-0 on the propage, but you notice the order in which they are listed is always very, very important. And the order last night or yesterday was Khalil Shakir over 41.5, James Cook over 80.5 rushing and receiving yards. We got in on those two earlier in the week. And then, of course, the Dalton Kincaid hashtag analysis of over 30.5 receiving yards. We said it. I say it over and over again. When me and Tom Brawley, the grinder, are on the same page, it's going to win. Just deal with it, accept it, and we'll all be happier. It's an 80% deal when me and Tom Brawley agree, and we did on Dalton Kincaid. So again, we come really close to literally a perfect day because if Tua Tagovailoa does not throw that interception at the end of the game, we probably had a good chance of hitting one of the two we lost in Jalen Waddle or Devon Achane. Achane lost a bunch of yards on negative plays, by the way. We did say he would get upwards to double-digit targets. He got 9, and he caught, 8 of them. So that's a little frustrating, but what are we going to do? When the hashtag analysis is on point, that we just let the chips fall, I guess. Yeah, Achane, 7 grabs, 29 yards. Got to give credit to the Bills D, zone-based D. They keep everything in front of them. They were absolutely tight, no doubt about it. And Tua, by the way, pretty rough, man. You know, this league has evolved into a second reaction league in that quarterbacks make more plays than ever on a second reaction. Second read, third read, you run out of the pocket, you throw in the run, you run. That's the game nowadays. Well, Tua Tagovailoa, it's a shame because I do believe if he entered the NFL 10 years earlier, he'd be fine. But now, boy, you put pressure on him, you take away the first read, it's over. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback have such a poor chance of completing a ball when the play breaks down and he has to scramble all over the place. So Jalen Waddle was a no-show in the first half. I was like, uh-oh. But then he did score at the end of the game and he came 11 yards shy of the prop. And then Achane came, let's see, he came also 11 yards shy of the prop. But we did also hit the touchdown prop. I said yesterday we're going to be, you know, pretty judicious because we're kind of in a little bit of a hole after the first couple of weeks. So we gained some ground with the Tyreek Hill anytime touchdown prop at plus 180. And this was the crown jewel of yesterday's program. Second week in a row, the Thursday night special has popped and scored and hit the total and hit the play. Dalton Kincaid, 60 plus receiving yards, plus 357, baby. So we are hanging in there. We're only down 10 bucks on the touchdown props. I do have four today and a couple of like major payouts on these four. I could go 1-4 or 1-3 and still be up by like 200 bucks. So looking forward to that. And the Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football special, we're 2-4. Again, this is hard. Like if you're 35% on these, you're doing well because these are high risk, kind of weird out there props. So we gained some ground on the record. We are still below 500 after a horrific week number one. But I have I'm a little ahead of schedule this week, and I have studied these matchups hardcore style, and I'm telling you what, I am feeling damn good about the hashtag analysis this week. I don't want to curse myself, but last year, week three, I went 10-0. And then week four, I think we went 8-2. So I think we were 18-2 on 20 props in weeks three and four. And why is that? Well, it's early enough in the season that the books haven't caught up. The injuries aren't as prevalent. We do hit that rough patch after about week eight. And again, like I've said all year, I am prepared for that by taking more unders. I may go like 50-50 on the unders. Why? Because I want to win. And I remember the hellscape that was November last year, because we went into November cruising with a really, really good record. And boy, we lost a lot of ground in November. News and notes and items of note. Well, I did kind of predict this about 3 days ago with Jaden Daniels. He's out, not going to play. Marcus Mariota will start. And it is kind of interesting, not a bad cheat code guy for this week in this offense. Mariota last year did not start a game. This is one of the weirdest stat lines I've seen in a little while. Didn't start a game. Former first round pick, Heisman Trophy winner, disappointment, but he's been really good off the bench. I don't know what it is. Maybe he just doesn't have it in him to be that leader, that alpha, that quarterback one, but he's a damn good backup. Did not start a game last year. And he did play, though, more than 50% of the snaps in two games. And he threw for 366/4 and had 16 carries for 90 yards and a rushing touchdown. So he absolutely got it done. So kind of a buzzkill, though, for their pass target group, obviously. Not a good schematic matchup, by the way, for Deebo Samuel. It is a good schematic matchup for Terry McLaurin. So I'm not playing a Terry McLaurin prop because I quit on Terry McLaurin props because he's very volatile, and I'm like 1-7 lifetime on Terry McLaurin. But if you need him in fantasy, he could make a big play in this game. Someone who probably won't be making any plays is Tucker Kraft, the outstanding emerging young tight end there for the Green Bay Packers. And he is not out there practicing today after suffering that knee injury in practice. What was that, Wednesday? Could have been Thursday, but that is a buzzkill, no question about it, because I've kind of felt like low key, he is Jordan Love's favorite target. And as we pivot off of Tucker Kraft, by the way, I did consider some lower end props for Dontavian Wicks and or Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo Dobbs, because they're both very good against man coverage, especially Wicks. And the Browns do, in fact, absolutely crush man coverage. So I can almost guarantee, because the Browns are good against the run, that, and by the way, they do have Luke Musgrave behind Tucker Kraft. And I actually like Luke Musgrave a lot coming out. He was I thought a very good prospect, but I think very, very confidently that we're going to get some action in the game, for what it's worth, to Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Dobbs. No Jaden Reed, of course. Very, very good schematic matchup. Emeka Ibuka was seen practicing today. So that's good, because dealing with that hip in the groin, because they're hurting. They're down their right tackle, their left guard, probably going to get Tristan Wirfs back. But Big Mike has that nasty matchup against one Sauce Gardner. Some other injuries that I don't have updates on, but just throwing it out there as an FYI. Obviously, you know, if you have Tyler Warren, you want to make sure we're good to go. And Brock Bowers, Warren was upgraded to limited. Tristan Wirfs, again, limited, so he should go. I haven't seen an update yet on Michael Carter because I think that could be important. The slot corner there for the Jets, that could be good for Ibuka, who plays inside about 45% of the time, or Sterling Shepard. And Christian Darrisaw, full practice the other day, but I don't know if we're totally cleared for takeoff there. And that would be nice for Carson Wentz to get the starting left tackle for the Vikings. So I don't have the update there. Maybe we'll get it before we sign off. That would absolutely positively help. When we return, let's take a look at college football, the action for tomorrow. But first, the NFL season is rolling and every game brings new opportunities to cash in. If you've got the right insights with VSiN Pro, you'll see real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits so you know where the public and the sharps are putting their money. Pair that with a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests, nonstop live video on the VSiN Watch app, and proven betting systems at VSiN.com. And you'll have the tools to stay ahead every single week. Start betting smarter today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. And as promised, as we take a break and return, we'll talk college football. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Betting Saturday here on VSiN, right here on Prop Points.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. Friday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for tuning in as always. And as promised, to the progressive guest line we go. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. He's on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens, all fired up for week four college football. Ben, what is up? How are you?
John, I'm doing very, very well. It is a wonderful week four slate. We've got conference matchups all around the country and some really good non-conference games as well. Excited to be joining you here on this Friday afternoon to set the stage for the weekend.
Let's start with Jake Retzlaff of Tulane. You like the over 54.5 rushing yards. I just saw an interview with Retzlaff talking about, you know, that decision to move. It just happened like 7 weeks ago. So maybe that's part of your analysis, that he's still learning the playbooks, so he's going to take off and run. But my other observation was I had to check his age, 22, because the dude looks like he's about 30. But what do you have here on Jake Retzlaff with the rushing prop?
Yeah, John, a lot of experience for Retzlaff and how he did things at BYU, the dynamic athlete that he is, and now the transfer to the Green Wave. You're right. The situation and the timing of this move, given everything that was happening in Provo at BYU, made us wonder, how would Retzlaff be in command of this new Tulane offense to start? Well, so far, so good. And in the matchups against power conference opponents that the Green Wave have had this year, Retzlaff against Northwestern, 113 yards on the ground. Retzlaff last week against Duke, pretty formidable front seven for Manny Diaz, 111 yards rushing and four touchdowns. Ole Miss, as they head to the Grove tomorrow, booked as a double-digit favorite. And last year, John, the Rebs were a great rushing defense, second best in the country, only allowing 80 yards per game. So far this year, replacing a lot of talent that went to the National Football League, it's been a different story. Last week against Taylen Green, the dynamic athlete at the QB spot for Arkansas, 115 yards on the ground allowed to the Hogs quarterback. I think that's where Jake Retzlaff looks to take advantage to keep the Wave in this game close and competitive, over 54.5 for his rushing yards number on Saturday afternoon.
Big rivalry game here, Oregon State, Oregon. Dante Moore of Oregon, 242. I see he has hit this in only one of three games. Not a bad clip there, but what do you see with Dante Moore, and why do you think over 242?
Yeah, John, it's part of the analysis for that number on Dante Moore, a rivalry game in the Civil War against Oregon State, a beef secondary that has not looked good this year. Jaron Kiave-Sangupolutelli in his first collegiate start for Cal, 234 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, relying on that pass. Last week, the Beavs played Texas Tech, and Baron Morton, the quarterback for the Red Raiders, threw for 464 yards. Dante Moore has not been overly prolific yet efficient because Oregon is routing the opposition. 162-30 is the scoring margin for the Ducks. A rivalry game, John, we know that motivation is Dan Lanning's tool each and every time. And his quarterback in Dante Moore has the third best Heisman Trophy price entering week 4, and yet the stats have not been overwhelming. I think they open it up through the air against the Beavs. 242 plus feels like a discount. I think Dante Moore has a big day against Oregon State inside Autzen Stadium tomorrow.
Couple of spread picks here as well with Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday, right here on VSiN on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. Maryland at Wisconsin. I'm not a huge college football guy, so I can't say I'm familiar with any big rivalry there, but you were in on Wisconsin -7.5 earlier in the week, but that has been bet up to 9.5. So I guess, are you still in? But your thoughts on this one, you were, you know, feeling it with Wisconsin -7.5.
Yeah, John, I absolutely am still in on it. And because the odds have moved back ever so slightly under double digits to 9.5 at DraftKings, I would jump back in again because I think the Badgers win this game by at least 2 possessions. John, maybe you're not all that familiar with college football, but one thing you should know first and foremost about the Terrapins, under Mike Locksley since 2019 in Big Ten play, they are atrocious. Non-conference action, fantastic. In conference play, 17-33 against the spread. That is fourth worst among FBS programs in the last 6+ full seasons, and 15-35 straight up. Wisconsin did not look overly competitive last week on the road against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And the betting market was all over Maryland earlier in the week, and yet the line worked up to 10 in favor of the Badgers. They should be getting starting quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. back against his former program in the Terps. I think it's a little bit uneasy right now in Madison around this Wisconsin football program. I think they start Big Ten play off with a statement before they have a bye to end out September and a difficult slate ahead in October. 2 possession victory for Luke Fickell and company tomorrow, Wisconsin over Maryland.
And then finally, South Carolina. I'm a little bit of a Gamecocks fan here. Ironically, I live in Georgia, but I'm lifelong New Jersey, New York resident. But I, some reason, like, you know what it is? I like the players they produce into the NFL, like the Georgia players. Sterling Sharp, a little before your time, happened to be a friend of mine that I ended up working with years later, but my favorite player of all time. But you have South Carolina +10, and that's -110 over here on DraftKings at Missouri. What do you have here?
Yeah, earlier in the week, this line was 12.5, John, in favor of Missouri. South Carolina did not look great last week at home in Williams-Brice against Vanderbilt. Why? Their starting quarterback and a Heisman frontrunner early in the year in Lenora Sellers injured in the game, in a concussion protocol, missed the entirety of the second half. In the second half against the Commodores, 6 offensive drives for the Gamecocks. They had 2 fumbles, an interception, 2 turnovers on downs, and a punt. It was underwhelming offensively, and I think the market was overreacting to the idea that without Sellers, they might struggle in SEC play here against a Mizzou team that's perfect, 3-0 straight up, and against the spread, one of 12 FBS programs that can claim that. I jumped in, though, earlier in the week, John, when there were some reports out of Columbia, the one being in South Carolina, that Lenora Sellers was out on the practice turf and was trending toward playing. His status now listed as probable, and we have seen that line work back a little bit to South Carolina in this spot. I think it's an overreaction based on a dismal performance last week in a big spot against Vandy. but I expect South Carolina to rectify that in a close and competitive game. Some of the numbers on the Gamecocks rushing defense has not looked great this year, but when you dive even a little bit further, they're not allowing all that many yards per pop. And against the Missouri team that's one of five in college football at the moment, averaging more than 300 yards on the ground, that will be the key matchup. I trust in the Gamecocks front seven. I certainly trust in Lenora Sellers back and healthy commanding that South Carolina offense. I think this game is a lot more competitive than some thought earlier in the week in the other Columbia in Missouri tomorrow.
Great stuff, Ben. Really appreciate it. Check out Ben on the Live Bet Saturday program right here on VSiN and on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens. Good luck with the plays. I'm personally feeling a 3-1 week here, but good luck with it, Ben. Good luck on the air tomorrow. We'll talk to you next week. And on the other side here on Prop Points, this Friday edition of the program, we'll be joined by Scott Barrett of fantasypoints.com. But we actually have a minute or two to play with. So I'm going to use that time to get to a couple of touchdown props that I'm into this weekend. And one of them is Davante Adams at +165. I know Scott Barrett has some thoughts on Davante Adams, but I feel good about the Ram passing game and Adams, even though I know he'll see a little Quinyon Mitchell. I talked about this with Brett Whitefield early in the week. He will see Mitchell, but they will put Cooper DeJean often on Puka Nacua, so they can move Davante around a little bit to get that one favorable matchup. So I thought Stafford has played well against this defense, so I like that one there. And Patty Mahomes at +265. Patty Mahomes leads the NFL in quarterback scrambles, yards, attempts, you name it. So I am in on those two touchdown props. We'll pop out the entire board of touchdown props in that final segment where I have all the hashtag week 3 analysis. But Scott Barrett will join us on the other side to talk a little DFS. But first, this week's Average Joe contest winner is Margaret Arana. It was a tough week at the top. 10 contestants went a perfect 7-0. Remember, tiebreakers come down to your best bet of the week, followed by best NFL record that week. The contest, free to enter. Every week, you can win cash prizes plus quarterly prizes like a trip to Vegas with a Circa resort stay and even a guest appearance on a VSiN show. Enter anytime this season right on over at VSiN.com/Joe. Once again, Scott Barrett on the other side, but then I will pop out. I think I've got, let's see here, I think it's 12. Plus a best bet and some touchdown props. So feeling really good about that. But always feel good when we chop it up with Scott Barrett. And he'll be next here. Talk week 3 DFS on this Friday edition of the program. This is Prop Points right here on VSiN.
With the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday edition, Prop Points, right here on VSiN. It does, in fact, roll on, and we go to the Progressive Guest Line, as always, and we bring in our guy, Scott Barrett of FantasyPoints.com on the X Machine, at Scott Barrett, DFB. Scott and I were just talking off the air how we're feeling a little cocky this week, which may be a great thing, but we'll try and not get too cocky because we don't have access to the results, right? Scott, how are you?
I'm doing good. Like you said, I'm feeling cocky. Had a great week last week, and I'm feeling very bullish on week 3.
You know, when people accuse me of being cocky or whatever, I would say, like, you know, it's like, you know, that diva receiver, like Michael Irvin, you know, he was the most arrogant, cocky dude in the league. And guess what? He was a baller, and he was arrogant and cocky because he put the work in, and we have put the work in. So let's get to it. Marcus Mariota getting the start for the DC Commanders. Little bit of a pass funnel So that'll be interesting to see if you're expecting anything from maybe Terry McLaurin. But, you know, the cheat code in full effect, and hopefully we're thanking him after the game, which would be, we'll say, Domo Arigato, Marcus Mariota. But what do you have on Mariota this week?
Yeah, so first off, he's only 4K, which means he's extremely cheap. You could just basically play whoever you want after that. So that's a part of it. But it's also, last year we saw Mariota play four full quarters plus two drives. So basically a game or a game plus a quarter. How many fantasy points do you think he scored in basically that one game? It was,
oh, it was like
45.6.
Yeah.
So that's pretty great. By fantasy points per dropback, it would have been better than Lamar Jackson's record breaking last season. I think the stack is pretty easy. You could play Deebo Samuel based on the schematic stuff, or you could play Terry McLaurin, because that's all Mariota did last year. He just locked on to Terry, 32% target share. That's up from 21% with Jaden Daniels. So I really think Marcus Mariota could be one of the cheap keys of this week's slate.
Where's, because I don't play DFS down here in Georgia, where is Javonte Williams' salary these days? Because this is a blow-up spot for Javonte. Highest total on the board. Bear D is a mess. Good schematic matchup. What do you have on Javonte?
Yeah, so it's really not so much about the salary. It has more to me to do with ownership. And everyone and their mother wants exposure to this game. It looks like a shootout. Two of the three worst defenses by points allowed per drive, by EPA per play allowed. And so, yeah, you people want their Roma Dunze. They want their CeeDee Lamb. Really excited about the pass catchers and the quarterbacks in this game. But I like Javonte Williams as a leverage play off of those guys. So if you don't have Dak, if you don't have a Pickens, Lamb, Odunze, you can get creative and play Javonte, hoping you gain leverage on the field that maybe Caleb Williams comes out of the gates, fumble, turnover. The game's never that competitive. It's the Javonte Williams show. And then I think even if that's wrong and this is a shootout, Javonte could still get there. Really good usage. Dallas very run heavy inside the red zone. So I like Javonte Williams quite a bit, and you can stack him up with Dallas's defense as well.
For what it's worth, I don't necessarily think it's going to be a shootout, or I'm not convinced it's going to be a shootout, because I don't think Caleb Williams, you know, can make it through the zone, basically. But in that same game, it's not the greatest schematic matchup either for George Pickens or CeeDee Lamb. So what do you think about Jake Ferguson? Well, I know what you think about it because we're sharing a brain. I freaking love Jake Ferguson this week, but what do you have?
Yeah, I'm all in on Jake Ferguson. This is one of my guys heading into the year, really bullish on him. It's clear Brian Schottenheimer's in love with him. That's why he gave him a ton of money. Very quietly, leads all tight ends in receptions, ranked second in XFP per game, had 12 targets last week. Last week was not his spot. It was a very man-heavy matchup, which really favors CD and Pickens. But it was Jake Ferguson who led the team in targets with 12 this week. Very much schematically a perfect Jake Ferguson spot. A lot of too high coverage really favors him historically over a George Pickens who struggled against it, over a CeeDee Lamb who struggled against it. So Ferguson always the better target per route run of any Dallas receiver against too high coverage. And it's also the Dak connection. Dak loves his tight ends. Over his last 20 games with Dak Prescott, 7.6 targets, 12.5 fantasy points per game. So at this salary, at this ownership, people are really underrating Jake Ferguson, but we are not.
Do you know what I called the tight end position in Dak's rookie year? I was actually a big Dak guy that year. I interviewed him at the combine. I was impressed. I was like, man, nobody's paying attention to this guy. And he looked really good in the preseason. That rookie year was Jason Witten. I called him his blankie. Dak loves his blankie, right? So I'm with you on Jake Ferguson. Scott Barrett on the line with us. He is on the X Machine at Scott Barrett DFB, of course, from fantasypoints.com. Fascinating matchup between the Rams and the Eagles. You're here to talk Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. Puka likely going to see a lot of Cooper DeJean, and Devontae probably going to see a lot of Quinyon Mitchell, but I think I'm with you in that I like Devontae a little bit more, but tell me what you see.
Yeah, so both are popping as top six values at the wide receiver position. We also, coming into the year, were very, very high on Adams and Puka, highest in the industry on both of them. And so I carved out a little section in the Everything Report this week talking about the value I'm seeing here. Sean McVay offense is always among the best in fantasy. League winners massively overrepresented. It was something like Sean McVay has had more league winners over the past 6 years than any three other coaches combined. And now it's looking like an even more potent offense and an even more condensed offense, which is just so great for fantasy. You want these, it's a big pie, and then you get even bigger slices of the pie. And so I like both of them, and I think you could stack them up. I think they're positively correlated together. They both rank top five in XFP per route run. So it's just, hey, if the Rams rank top seven in dropbacks this week, I could easily see them both finishing top five in fantasy points this week. So you can go with either one. I think you can go with both of them, even without Stafford as the quarterback. So I like the Rams receivers a lot this week.
By the way, real quick, would you be worried if you had Kyren Williams? Because he doesn't get the receptions in the passing attack. Blake Corum out there, per your Everything Report, which, by the way, is an incredible overview of the week, every week, early in the week, over at fantasypoints.com. All the stats, data, roles, all that stuff. But if you had Kyren, would you be worried about Corum? Because if he's going to start getting goal line opportunities, that could be a real problem for Kyren Williams.
Yeah, I absolutely would be concerned. It seems like now it's a 2-to-1 split, where in past seasons it was 80-90%, and they're giving Corum the red zone work, which is not great. Kyren, that's such a huge part of his fantasy value. He's led the league in fantasy points per game scored inside the red zone each of the last 2 years. And then this week he's in a void for me because the Rams are underdogs, and Kyren averages six fewer fantasy points per game than losses. Very game script sensitive, like a Derrick Henry. So Kyren, player to avoid. That's partly why I'm leaning into the pass catchers in this spot.
Totally. And full disclosure, I'm in on two Devontae Adams props that I'll pop out in the next segment. But before we let you go, Scott, not to put you on the spot, but we did talk Marcus Mariota. What are your thoughts on Bill? Jacory Kroski Merritt. Is it thumbs up or thumbs down this week? Because I'm thinking thumbs up for Bill.
Yeah, I like him. He's looked good. I think this offensive line has looked even better. Maybe with the backup quarterback, they lean a bit heavier on him. For long-term fantasy leagues, I don't see him being a full-on every down bell cow. I don't see him getting Austin Eckler like targets. And I do think Debo Samuel is going to be a little bit of a thorn in his side, maybe particularly inside the red zone. So I don't see him as a true league winner, but certainly like a tremendous ADP beater and a valuable fantasy asset.
Does Debo, how does he look to you? Cause he was one of my guys this year. And people were like, really? I'm like, yeah, I've always been a Debo person. It's just such a beautiful fit. Do you think he looks all right?
I think he looks great. Yeah. And he was one of the guys this offseason as well. This is like the one spot where how he is used and how he wins is actually the offensive play caller. He's like if Rondale Moore was really good, right? To me. And you and I, you know, through our sources, know that like the weight issues have been a real thing for him in 2022, maybe in 2024. But no, he looked good in this offseason. He still looks good. He seems pretty fast and physical. So yeah, I'm with you on Debo.
That is Scott Barrett, fantasypoints.com. Great stuff as always, Scott. Good luck this week. And my picks, official, next here on Prop Points.
With the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
final segment here on a Friday. It is go time right here on Prop Points on VSiN. By the way, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your pods. Well, without any further ado, let's get into, what is it, like 11 or 12 props I have. You know, a lot of them I really like. Popping off the page here. So got to go with it. Let's start. And we do have a best bet as well. So far, we are 2-0 on the best bets on Friday's primo pick. Last week, it was Trey McBride. Week one, it was Bro Flacco. Of course, overs. Let's go to numero uno, which is Mr. Jake Ferguson, the aforementioned Jake Ferguson. I mean, I've got so many data points supporting Ferguson. This is what I do. I stack up the positives. When you have a player where you're, it's like four positives, I'm like, okay, like, for example, not the greatest schematic matchup for George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, who see a 38 and 34% reduction to their targets per route run against cover two since the start of last season. However, conversely, against cover two, Ferguson ranks third of 137 qualifying receivers in yards per route run, and he's been targeted an absurd 41% of the time against that shell, second most. I think that's enough said situation with the highest total on the board, so Jake Ferguson will go over 38.5. Jamar Chase will go over 69.5. I am a lifelong Vikings fan, unfortunately. It's only been a half a century of pain, but at least I'm good at fake football. And one thing I know is that they can't stop number one receivers. I won a DJ Moore prop week one. DJ Moore, compared to that to Jamar Chase, it's no comparison considering the obvious. But I guess maybe we bumped down Chase a little bit because his boy Joe Burrow was out. But I still think easily we're going over 69.5. Minnesota deploys the highest rate of two high safety coverage, 70%. And Chase crushes that, 2.52 yards per route run. So it'll be a lot of underneath stuff, quick hitters. He might need 8-9 catches to get here, but I'm not feeling it because for T. Higgins, because he, by the way, averages only 0.14 yards per route run on 42 routes. Only 42 routes, but 0.14 against cover two compared to Chase's digit of 3.52. So, yes, Jamar Chase will go over 69.5. The Javonte Williams one, oh, I mean, it's almost too good to be true. The Bears rank top five in the deployment of two high looks. So going to be some light boxes for Javonte. They're giving up over 3 yards before contact per attempt. And when he's contacted after 1 yard, Javonte averages 6 yards a carry this year. And the Bears are also allowing 6.3 yards per carry on opposing man or gap concepts, fourth most in the league, compared to just 3.52 on zone concepts. And Javonte is averaging 6.8 yards a carry, third most, with an 87% success rate against those man or gap concepts. So we're feeling good. Garrett Wilson, this one's a little weird, but over 5.5 receptions, I do feel really good about it because I wouldn't put it up here at these odds that aren't great if I didn't feel really good about it. He is rolling with a very fat 34% target share. The Bucs have been an underneath funnel, allowing the most receiving yards per game on throws traveling 10 yards or fewer from the line of scrimmage. He gets a 12% boost to his targets per route run against cover three, which they run a ton. The Bucs have funneled opposing volume to opposing number one receivers thus far with Drake London and Nico Collins. I mean, we can keep going with the positives, but I think that Tyrod Taylor is more consistent than Justin Fields. So I think it may not get a lot of yards, but I'm very confident that Garrett Wilson, barring an injury, will get 6 grabs. Davante Adams. Not a bad number here, 59.5. He got to 51 against Derek Stingley in the season opener, who is the best corner in football for my money. And then last week he went off. He ranks fourth in the league at the position in targets per route run. So you love that. He ranks third in average separation score, a.k.a. S. over at fantasypoints.com. Second in win rate. So he's balling. He's still balling. Puka will see a lot of Cooper DeJean. And I think Devontae, they can move around a little bit, get him off of Quinyon Mitchell and maybe on to Adoree Jackson a time or two. So I like that. How about this one? Russ Wilson. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh, he's doing this. Then I went back and I looked at his last six games, over 3.5 rushing attempts. I looked at the last six games against Kansas City, who play a lot of man and give up typically quarterback rushes. Here it is. 6 for 55, 8 for 30, 4 for 31, 4 for 27, 4 for 57, 4 for 32, 6 for 49. That's his last six games against KC. So I think we're going to get to four rushing attempts. Feel good about that. Drake London, alert the media because we're taking an under. Under 5.5 receptions. Two things. Number one, well, Atlanta has been the third most run-heavy offense in the league. That's one. Number two, unbelievable schematic matchup for Bijan. So, and the Panthers can be run all over. So they may not need much from Drake London. And last but not least, perhaps most importantly, J.C. Horn has been the man. My analysis last week with Trey McBride was that Marvin Harrison wasn't going to do crap, and he didn't. And that was because of J.C. Horn. He has been targeted as the closest defender to the ball on only four occasions this year, and he's allowed one catch for 7 yards, and that was to McBride. So Drake London, I'd be floored if he caught six balls in this one. DJ Moore, I'm going for it, 55.5, because Matt Eberflus, zone-heavy defense. Cowboys have yet to play a snap of true man coverage. DJ Moore, his targets per route run grew 21% against zone. You know who doesn't do well against zone? The prop we won last week because it was against a man-heavy defense, Roma Dunze. So in a shootout, DJ Moore, really good over 55.5. Feel very good about that. Also feel very good about Ramondre Stevenson because, you know, it's Travion Henderson's not ready for prime time. Mike Vrabel is impressed by Ramondre. How could you not be? After last week, Ramondre looks svelte. He looked good. 61% of his carries have come with man and gap concepts. The Steelers are allowing the most yards per carry, 7.6 on those concepts. Second highest success rate on those concepts. And Ramondre is... he's the guy in the backfield. Steelers have been a pretty much a run funnel as well. So we're going to get a lot of carries here. I got to speed it up a little bit. Justin Herbert, over 20 rushing yards. His last four games dating back to last year, 8 for 28, 3 for 12, 7 for 32, 9 for 31. I do like that. He's hit it three of the last four. And then let's get into those touchdown props very, very quickly. A lot of these I kind of talked about the analysis. Like Devontae Adams, Patrick Mahomes, dudes running all over the place, leading the lead in scrambles and scramble yards. Harold Fannin Jr., why am I taking this? Because he's up against cover two. That's perfect for him, and he crushes that with 4.56 yards per route run. Here's a weird one. Carson Wentz at plus 500. Vikings fan growing up. Aaron Jones out. I think they'll have some red zone struggles. Maybe he takes one in, takes it upon himself to do it. And then Russ Wilson, as I mentioned, how about that? Plus 750? Really like that one. We are up against the end of the program. All we have left to go is the best bet, which, of course, as always, is brought to you by GBank. GBank built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treating the sports book and the gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money. GBank treats them as regular purchases, no cash advance fees, saving you 3 to 5% on every deposit. You'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible gaming transactions, 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now, VSiN.com/GBank. After we sign off, it is Money Moves. Jonathan Von Tobel on today's show, Mike Palm and Will Hill will break down the NFL action. But my best bet for the week is Ashton Jeanty over 55 rushing yards. The Commanders have been a run funnel. There is no doubt about it. They play a lot of nickel, so it'll be light boxes for Jeanty. We got a squeaky wheel game coming at us here, as Pete Carroll addressed it. So very confident that Ashton Jeanty will go over 56 rushing yards. Thanks for tuning in today and all week. Thanks to Michael Cohen. Thanks to our guests, Ben Stevens and Scott Barrett. I'm John Hansen. We'll catch you on Monday for another edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN.